Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's a Monday, the 6th of July. It's hot. It's steamy. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr. Luke Moore. You all right, mate?
Hello. Yeah, I'm all right. You forgot my name periodically then, didn't you?
I nearly called you Mark Haynes because I was recording Wrestle Me last night and I got a little bit confused.
How many other men do you talk to, Peter?
I know, right? Inside and outside of a recording studio. I'm in wrestling mode. Who fancies a wrestle? Oh, I didn't send you a picture of a man getting punched in the face. Big Van Vader. You remember Big Van Vader?
I do remember Big Van Vader, yeah.
Died last year, I believe. He was fighting a man called Stan something or other in Japan. And Stan something or other.
Stan Collymore?
Stan Hansen? Stan Hansen. I want to say Stan Hansen, but he had a sort of cowboy gimmick, I believe, and he punched Big Van Vader in the face in Japan during a particularly violent match, and Big Van Vader's eye popped out of his socket. He kept wrestling.
Oh, my God. Every time I check in with WrestleMe, which isn't as often as I'd like, but I'm very busy, obviously, every time I check in, something like that is being talked about, and it is disgusting.
Look, that's the nice end of a wedge that's, you know, at the moment, UK wrestling is saturated with the accusations of some terrible misdemeanors. So, to be honest, a man's eye popping out of his head, I'd rather talk about that than sexual misdemeanors, quite frankly. So, yeah,
that film Any Given Sunday.
Does a man's eye pop out?
I'm pretty sure I'm thinking about the right movie. Yeah, man's eyeball. Right. Kind of vacates its
socket
home.
it shouldn't be there. And to be honest, once that's happened, I wouldn't continue wrestling, to be honest. I'd say, look, we've all had a lot of fun. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to say it in Japanese, but I'd say, look, can someone translate? We've all had a lot of fun. We've all had a great night. I might need to get this scene too, because my eyes popped out my socket.
You sound very calm for a man whose eyes left its socket.
Well, I'm Big Van Vader. I'm massive. I could probably deal with...
So it's a smaller surface area for the rest of his body, so he shouldn't be as panicked.
Well, I think he sort of wore a mask for most of his career, so maybe that was just to keep his face from letting his eyes vacate his eye sockets.
Well, he's the living embodiment of the old adage that it's all a great amount of fun until someone loses an eye.
Loses an eye. So he didn't lose it. He knew
says Big Van Vader.
I remember there was like an old animated GIF from back in the day of a woman on a TV show. I don't think it was Jerry Springer. It was some kind of shocking sort of body shock TV show where she could sort of pop her eyes out of her sort of
eyelids.
Oh,
I remember that.
Her eyelids.
Was that not on TFI Friday or something?
Yeah, I think everyone could people could do it to a certain extent, but these people can move their eyelids from like to behind their eyes. It's only going to put strain on the bloody optic nerve, isn't it? Yeah. You don't need that in your life.
Can I ask a question that you would almost certainly not know the answer to, but our listeners might. If one's eye pops out of its socket and it's still dangling there on the optic nerve, would you be able to see kind of from that viewpoint, or does the moment that it pops out of its socket mean that that's it?
I reckon that it doesn't ever really pop out of its eye socket that far. So, you know, your brain can probably... Because obviously the brain just interprets the imagery brought forth by the optic, through the optic nerve. So presumably you can see that, but your brain just probably goes, I don't know what's happening here, and probably maybe shuts down or does something wild. Because obviously the eyes do crazy stuff. Because people have like eyes that like go in other directions, don't they? People can still see pretty well when one eye is completely out of the picture, like looking to the right or to the left. So maybe the brain just manages to fill in those holes. Yeah, have you ever like, you must have people in your life who have like eyes that just kind of, you know, drift.
I don't have anyone in my life.
Don't have anyone in your life with eyes. Mr. Potato Head.
That's my rider. My rider is that no one I become close to can have eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Big Van Vader's back on the lid. Oh, no, actually, he's dead, isn't he?
No, he's dead, yeah, no. He's probably got no eyes now. I don't know. I don't know what goes first when it comes to decomposition. I went to a graveyard quite over the weekend. I had a stroll around. A lot of very new graves. It's unnecessary.
Well, it does happen.
I know. But guys, I wasn't expecting so many new graves. I was expecting cemeteries for me are always overcrowded, and all of the graves are from the 80s, if not earlier. But this one was like new graves only, and I was like, I was not expecting the emotional weight, to be quite frank.
How did it make you feel?
It's just unbelievably sad. And made me reassess, you know, spending hours doing podcasts every week.
You are going to, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I know you fairly well, and I know that you probably just went out for a nice walk, but if you are going to spend your time walking around the graveyard, I mean, you are literally surrounded by death. So
spooks. Yeah.
Maybe you felt like it would be a kind of life-affirming experience, you know, I need to reaffirm myself and have a good time because we're not here forever. But I mean, I am going to draw the line, if you don't mind, at you being surprised that there's a lot of dead people there.
Yeah.
Because I've got to go somewhere, mate.
I was dressed as zombie Michael Jackson, though.
I always think you're dancing in formation. I always do feel like... I will journey with you on this one for a little bit, because I do feel like... The idea of being buried 6 feet in a graveyard is quite old school. I mean, I've sadly been to my fair share of funerals, and I think exclusively they've been cremations. I've never done that thing where you stand outside and see a body lowered into the ground. I mean, that presumably still happens, but
last one was me gran about 15 years ago, I think.
What, and they were laid, and she was lowered down, was she?
Yeah, I've told the story before. They were, you know, it was 400, 600 quid for a person to dig a hole. Didn't dig it right. She went in wonky, so there you go.
Huh. But I mean, is that kind of common? Do people, I mean, with the greatest of respect to your dear old nan, do people care about that? Because it's all going to be buried anyway.
Well, she went in and
it wasn't like the top of the coffin poking out, was there?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't far off, Luke. To be honest, it was really? It was a pretty poorly dug hole. I don't know whether the rain had come, but you know, you've got your mechanical diggers and stuff. There's not really much of an excuse. You've got a thin little scooper. Just scoop away until it looks flat. Unless my granddad was also buried wonky, and then my gran gone over the top, it would have been upsetting to see a skeleton of my granddad. I don't know. I don't really know how it works.
The only exposure I've ever had to grave diggers are the grave digger on the Nintendo 64 game Zelda Ocarina of Time, who kind of played quite a prominent part, and the hip hop group The Grave Diggers. I've never known anyone to be. I mean, is it still a trade? Presumably, it was a trade at one point.
Well, I don't know what were the grave diggers? What kind of hip hop did they do? Were they kind of like, were they quite like gangster and bling? Like, as in, like, is that where they got their gold from? Is that where they got their rings from? Is that where they got their jewelry from?
I think they were quite dark, yeah, but they're quite dark in terms of like, you know what? Quite a sense of, I mean, I'm not overly familiar with them. I haven't listened to them for a very long time. I don't think they've been around.
I may have confused
for about 20
grave
years.
Diggers with grave robbers. I think grave diggers just dig graves, don't they?
Yeah. Just doing a job, mate.
Grave robbers. They do also dig graves, but after the, they reverse it all up.
grave digging is a part of grave. Every grave robber is a grave digger, but every grave digger isn't a grave robber.
So you think that the grave digger, you know, the grave robber could probably go straight quite easily because they do the hard work.
Maybe they could be in cahoots.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's how old school Victorian doctors used to get their bodies, isn't it? So
that is true. Yeah, that is true. Speaking of death, did you hear about Carl Reiner, who died last month, 98? Legendary legendary kind of comedy performer and actor. He did a lot of Mel Brooks stuff. He's in Ocean's 11. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. He quite interestingly tweeted like 2 days before his death or a few days before his death and talked about how much he loved his wife and his children. And it was
Have you seen the story about how he died? It's the best death any of us can hope for, right?
No.
He had his favorite hot dog, which was called the Rhino Dog, which was named after him, which is a 9-inch hot dog topped with mustard and sauerkraut with a side of baked beans. And he apparently been in good spirits all day. He spent time at his Beverly Hills home watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy with his friend Mel Brooks. At 10 p.m., he was walking out of his TV room with his housekeeper when he stumbled. He didn't fall too hard. He went out within 3 minutes and he didn't suffer. Now, that is the only way that's the best way that any of us could ask for, really, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a message that you need to just eat crap food all the time. Just do what you want all the time because it could be your last day. I always sort of see those sad videos where they're bloody heartbreaking. Those videos where a dog's obviously going to be put down in the afternoon, so they have a morning where they take them to the beach and feed them great food, and you know, do that every day. Do that every day, and then I won't be sad about them just doing it on the last day. Oh.
I can't even think about. Do you know what? There are certain things where my mind will just not let me go. Idea of taking one of my pets to be able to put down, I can't think about it. I just don't know what I would do. The idea of what you just said there has made me so unbearably sad. I need to Google something quickly. Like, you know, when you watch a horror film before you go to bed and you think, I need to watch an episode like The Thick of It now to get this out of my mind. I need to do that because I can't think about that. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's the saddest thing ever. And I think, you know, people always complain about, everyone's so empathetic and sympathetic towards animals, but not to their fellow human beings. It's kind of like a hippie-ish thing to say. But I think the reason for that is because rightly or wrongly, and in many cases, probably wrongly, human beings think of other human beings as in some way at least responsible for their own position, right? Whereas animals are seen a lot more as a lot more helpless and domesticated and cute, and they can't, a dog can't work its own way out of poverty. I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to get into a political thing about other human beings, but like generally speaking, cats and dogs and other domestic pets need looking after, and that's why we're so empathetic towards them. The very idea of taking a dog to the beach and giving it one of those dog ice creams you can get and having a great time because you've got to take it to essentially be killed is I can't deal with it. My brain just can't process it.
Are there any domesticated animals like didn't the Russians domesticate the fox back in the day?
Did they?
Would you?
I think so.
Yeah, but a long time ago. Would you take it easier if it was a fox?
No.
Or would it be no?
Do you know what? I think if I ever move to the countryside, which I will at some point, and I'm gonna need to, kill an animal because it's in pain or something, or like as Alan Partridge said, finish it off with a jack because I hit it with my car. What I would say is, before we had our cats, I live in a different place, and it had mice, and the whole place had mice when I moved in, and we had to obviously we had to kind of get rid of them somehow, and I just couldn't bring myself to kill them or to get anything that was cruel or whatever. I mean, the only thing I could do, which was this absolutely pathetic thing, was like there was this trap where you put a bit of peanut butter at the end of it and the mouse goes in to get it and it flips up so the mouse can't get out again. And the amount of time I would spend with the mouse in this little trap, probably the same mouse every fucking time, going down the end of the street and letting it out and coming back again. And then I read on Google about a year later that you have to take them about 3 miles away before they can find their way back. And I thought, well, I'm not taking a mouse on the tube. That's ridiculous.
No.
And so I'm terrible at that. I can't do anything. I cannot bear it. I could probably go up to and include some kind of moderate size spider. Other than that, no.
Butterfly?
Certainly not Carl Reiner.
Could you finish Carl Reiner off with a shovel? Probably not.
Who, for the avoidance of any doubt whatsoever, if people who've zoned out of this show and started listening again, died of natural causes at the age of 98. And
I'll reserve my judgment for the post-mortem, please.
Yeah, but it is an interesting discussion, chiefly because I also feel like human beings should absolutely be in control of their own destiny, their own lives. And, you know, people who have very sad terminal illnesses and are in constant pain and they want to, you know, go in, you know, go to Dignitas and all those kind of places. I fully defend that. I'm just not very good with death generally. And it's going to be a problem at some point, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It is. I mean, you're definitely moving towards it rather than away from it. And I don't really have many ways of reversing that, to be quite frank. And I've tried to bleach my hair, quite frankly. Keep working out.
Keep working
out, mate. Keep working out.
That's one for science, right. About whether we could actually reverse
the aging process.
Yeah, because it's essentially just it's just a decay of cells, right?
Mm.
So beyond,
we could maintain our cells somehow.
Yeah, but beyond the decline in health of the brain through like dementia and all that kind of stuff is obviously a lot more complicated. But in terms of the human body, it's just a decline of cells. So you'd hope, because certain animals, and we talked about this last week, certain animals can obviously regenerate themselves. Certain organs in the human body can regenerate themselves as well. You think of the liver, and I think possibly skin as well. So there's a precedent there. Can the other organs and muscles stop being so lazy? That's what I'm asking.
Lazy brain. We've all got silly, lazy brains, God damn it. Shall we take a break and then come back with some emails at a strangely early time?
Yeah, and also we should probably be a little bit more upbeat as well, because people aren't going to stick around if we carry on talking about death.
Probably not. No death. No death in the second half of the show. We can't make that decision, but we haven't read any emails yet. We'll be back in a second.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Thank you.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
To the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. And I went, that's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you who don't know what a tenga is, Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based ordinist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Stakhanov production.
And we're back. It's a Luke and Pete show. It is Monday the 6th of the 7th of the 20th. I do hope you're keeping well. I do hope you're keeping safe as well. Obviously, over the weekend, a lot of revellers have been revelling, having a beer.
That's the only time you hear that word, isn't it, in the news?
Revelling. Yeah. Revellers, New Year's Eve, I'd say. Irresponsible social drinkers. I think we got more of the weekend.
Certainly who could have seen anyway. That coming? Who on earth could have seen that coming?
Oh dear! I tell you what, if you gave me an empty pub with Nigel Farage in it, or a COVID petri dish that was Old Compton Street on Saturday, I would have taken Old Compton Street every day of the week, but presumably Saturday.
Ironically, because Nigel Farage had actually flouted the quarantine and having come back from the United States, so exactly. Either way, the thing is though the. Big Donny, is that I spent a portion of the weekend sat in my garden having a lovely drink. I had a nice time. I didn't get anyone else in danger.
No. You know,
I've been at Weatherspoons that morning.
You'd had a skinful.
Did you see?
Frank.
I'll tell you what I did draw the line at. Now, I don't want to be too judgmental of other people's behaviour. And, you know, aside from the fact that they might be putting other people in danger, which is a bad thing. You know, generally speaking, I'm not someone who likes to get involved that much with other people's behaviour. Pete, you'll laugh at that, but I don't think I am. Anyway.
Presumably anyone who's in that street, though, if you're in that street, you're putting yourself in danger. So everyone's just dangering each other up, aren't they, really?
One thing I would draw the line at is I saw a photo shared of someone saying, oh, I've been looking forward to this for ages, in Weatherspoons here for a lunch. And they had posted a picture of themselves in Weatherspoons having a steak and kidney pudding with chips and peas. It looked fucking miserable. Yeah. And they're having they're having a pint of Pepsi.
Like, having a pint of Pepsi in a Weatherspoons. Why you can do that anywhere. And the pudding looked very suet heavy. That's all I'm saying.
It looked very Brexit.
It looked dry and also very, very greasy at the same time. The weird thing, I think somebody pointed out on Twitter, how come Britain plunder the entire world for spice and yet their food looks like that?
The tweet was, Great Britain colonised the world for spices yet still eats like it's 1672.
Enjoyable.
It's not making the most of it, is it? It's just not making the most of it.
I hate to think what Laura from Bert Perkins said revisited it over the weekend out of lockdown in Weatherspoons. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, she I think you'll find the show is called Revisiting now, Peter. So that's embarrassing.
I was thinking that Laura was from Berkhamsted. Berkhamsted Laura from Revisited. That's what I said.
There Revisiting. You got it wrong again.
Revisiting. She's crying out loud.
She only eats potato smarties, waffles, and like turkey dinosaurs. So you could probably get that in Weatherspoons, I presume.
I reckon so, yeah. That'd be the kids' menu. we've got an email. Let's crack straight in the emails. We've got an email from Daniel. Plenty of responses to are things that you find annoying in movies. I think I know this was done on Twitter a little bit, but I think it's interesting to explore. Following on for your chat from about annoying things in movies, or things you see in real life but you never see in the movies. Mine would be horror movies and the lack of ability to turn on a bloody light. If you're at home and you hear a noise in another room, no matter how freaked out you are, you still turn on the lights in that room before looking about. Not in the movies, they don't. It's easy to stumble around in the pitch black, apparently. I would say that if you're already in the pitch black, though, don't turn the light on because you're going to be confused about what's happening.
Yeah, because you might take a moment for your eyes to get used to the light.
Exactly.
What would you do, Pete? What would you do if you were at home on your own at night?
And there was a home invasion.
You thought it was an intruder. What would you do?
Well, I would keep the lights off. Just remember, guys, you know more about the house than they do. And then I would go into my closet where I've got a hammer and hammer myself to death to save them from doing it, because I am what can only be described as a big scaredy cat.
Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. Imagine that. I mean, the thing about
imagine
that...
Imagine how confused they'd be.
But yeah, but Pete, the delicious irony of that is that they would get busted for murder and no one would believe them.
Exactly.
Oh, so you're telling me he took himself into the wardrobe and he beat himself to death with a hammer? That doesn't sound very likely.
No, exactly. Oh, and they couldn't find the fingerprints. Well, you're still going to prison, mate. We've all seen The Staircase.
You've had the last laugh there.
Exactly. Daniel Schilling also goes on to say, spoilers! One movie that doesn't use a time cut is Aliens. We spoke about Aliens.
This is about the idea that I said that we're in a movie, like you'll see like some kind of timer and it'll be on a minute, and then like 15 minutes worth of stuff happens in that minute, and it takes you out of the air, takes you out of the conceit. It's completely unrealistic. Yeah.
And you stand up in the middle of an audience to your fellow cinema goers shouting, "Ah, it's been ages. It's been 10 minutes. So that time was only set for 3 minutes. Unbelievable."
I don't go to the Odeon. There's a picture house right near me.
Oh, picture house. I think they're owned by Odeon, aren't they? Aren't they owned
I don't think they pay their staff a London living wage either. So
correct. There's a lot of restaurants. I'm sure the restaurant industry coming out of COVID has been hit harder than most. A lot of restaurateurs coming out and going, we're now deciding to get rid of the tipping system or the discretionary, or in many senses, the non-discretionary 12.5 addition to the fee that you pay at the end of.
They're getting rid of tips.
Meal.
Just say that.
Because it's not it's a discretionary fee. It's not necessarily a tip if you have to remove it from the bill. It's not technically tipping, I would say. But they're basically going to be adding that money to the menu. Do that anyway and insist on no tipping, because you're having a bit of a giggle, because obviously the living wage, or the wage that the people are getting through the money that the government are giving people under the system over the past couple of months, that only covers the money up to where tipping begins. And that's obviously not enough to live on, because that's how restaurateurs make all their money. So don't give it the big licks now. You should have done this years ago, you absolute bells.
On the other hand, on cinemas, I want to be paid more money just to watch films all day. Pathetic.
At the end of the movie, Aliens, when Ripley sets off the 15-minute self-destruct system, it's actually 15 minutes of movie exactly until it explodes. This was done on purpose by James Cameron, so the audience was more drawn into the story and they weren't complaining like Luke. I think that would probably make me think that 15 minutes is longer. Do you not think?
That's excellent they've done that, though, and that's the standard that I think everyone should aim for, but I understand how it probably isn't going to be possible. Now, a good example of that, I think, would be in that film we had to 24. Watch in on the Ramble Film Club, which was Final Score with Dave Bautista, right?
Yes, okay.
I mean, the whole thing takes place during one football match, and my goodness me, a lot of stuff happens. Like, you would never be able to feel that. Kind of, I mean, it's a perfectly fine film. It's like it's not dreadful or anything. It's a perfectly enjoyable blockbuster. But I'm just using that as an example that they seem to pack a lot in for what is effectively 90 minutes.
Mm. Well, I mean, and it's a night match, so they can't even blame water breaks for it.
No, true.
Or VAR decisions, and it was pre-VAR in the Champions League.
The drinks break at the Portsmouth game on Friday. I mean, we're getting into ramble territory here, but just very quickly. Mm. The drinks break on the Pompey game on Friday, right, which has been put into place, I know, for hygiene reasons because of water bottles and stuff, but it's also been put into place because teams are playing in July. In Portsmouth on Friday, it was 16 degrees and blowing a gale. I imagine they're asking for a cup of tea, let alone a drink of Lucozade or whatever.
Can I have some hot Lucozade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have some mulled Lucozade?
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Listen, I've got another email here from Richard. He's emailed in. The email address is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Do keep your emails coming in about whatever topic you like. This could serve as inspiration for you, because with the greatest respect to Richard, who actually in the email itself acknowledges the fact that it's dull, this kind of email has still made it in. So don't hide your light under a bushel if you're thinking of emailing in. Do email in. He says, hello at Luke and Pete. If that subject line isn't enough to draw you in and the subject line is a dull fact about crisps, I don't know whatever will be. I'd like to share some trivia with you that I have shared with a lot of people over the last 10 years or so. And whenever I tell them it, I am struck by how fundamentally boring it is, yet it also raises eyebrows and piques interest in the receiver in just the way it did with me when I first heard it. Here we go, Peter. Did you know the best before date on a packet of crisps is always on a Saturday?
I only know this because I read this email and I was also very, very intrigued.
Yes, it sounds dull, says Richard, but I guarantee as you read this, there will be listeners reaching for a near bag of Walkers or whatever their favourite crisp is to check the date, and they'll find it does indeed always fall on a Saturday. I suppose it's likely that some contrary company will have a different system, but to date I have never had anybody prove it wrong. If you want to know the reason, it is this. In manufacturing sites, production weeks begin on a Sunday. Anything produced on that week will therefore have a best before date of the following Saturday. I hope you find this as weirdly interesting as I did. I wonder if any listeners have a favourite dull piece of trivia. Thanks for keeping up with the podcast during the pandemic. Stay safe and take care, Richard. Now, listen, I don't think that final bit is true because I don't think they're going to be producing crisps with 1 week on them. I think it's going to be... Well, because what he says is, production weeks begin on the Sunday. Anything produced in that week will therefore have a best before date of the following Saturday. I think he means a year later or something. Because there's no way crisps in that packet don't last longer than a week.
But if it's 2 year, if it's got a 2 year cycle or a 2.5 year cycle, or you know, a year and a half, I don't really know how long crisps last. But yeah, it will still land on. They still choose a Saturday to be the end of the week, effectively.
Yeah.
So if you said two years from now, 2 years plus the Saturday, so 2 years and a few days. Wasn't there a big thing during lockdown that a lot of realizing that beer will have been stored in the cellars of a lot of pubs and stuff? A lot of beer manufacturers just sort of go, yeah, a lot of this lager's actually 6 months. You can have it 6 months later as well. So the best part, it doesn't really... can you imagine the stinking pints that people have been drinking over this weekend?
I don't imagine Witherspoons would be giving a shit.
I'm sure for legal reasons.
That's a good point, actually. I wonder what did happen to all that beer, because like the people were, I mean, 3.5-4 months, sure, the turnaround time's got to usually be a lot quicker than that.
I made some tempura batter over the weekend, or rather got some out of a packet, and they said that you should add beer to it to make it more fluffy, and I didn't have any beer in the house, so I've seen myself off there by drinking all the Tiskies in the home.
Yeah, so I think tempura is best made with sparkling water, isn't it?
Amazing. Very interesting.
Yeah, it keeps it light. But Peter, you know, the idea of a Guinness, you know, part of Guinness not being very good, apparently the best Guinness is served in places where a lot of Guinness is drunk because it doesn't last very long. It doesn't do very well in the barrel, apparently.
Right,
If it's been stuck in the barrel for the last 3 months, I mean, I don't imagine it has. I imagine they've kind of updated it. But if it has, it's not going to taste very nice, is it?
No, I imagine.
I don't know, because I've not been to a pub yet. I've not been to a pub since February, I don't think.
But can you imagine sort of people, have you not had a takeout? Have you not walked past a pub and went, ooh, look at that, I'll have a takey out?
Not really, because my lifestyle doesn't really, because I mean, this lockdown lifestyle I've got doesn't really lend itself to that, chiefly because if I go into the office or into TalkSport, whatever it was, I would always drive anyway. And I'm not really going to have a beer on the go when I'm driving. You can't do that really. And secondly, the pubs around near me haven't been open for takeout, really. It's not really been necessary. And to be honest, I could just have a beer at home, couldn't I? What's the point?
Well, I think drinking out of a glass vessel, it's weird, isn't it? I think putting from a can a lager, and I do like my lager, into a glass is good, but not as good as one served in a pub. But at the moment, they're serving a lot of drinks in plastic glasses. Mm. So why the fuck would you even go there?
Yeah, Guinness would be the only reason I would. Like a part of Guinness, I'd be interested in that. Other than that.
But can you imagine sort of people coming back at the pub and going, oh, this is disgusting because this really old beer. And like going, I didn't need to be here. I don't know why I was really, really looking forward to this. Imagine, like, because I will sometimes on an evening when I'm imbibing alcohol, I'll start with a drink and the drink will be not good or a drink that I don't like. And I'm like, why have I chosen this one? this is terrible. I just wanted, like, this has ruined my whole night, because I know for a fact the first drop of alcohol is always the best drop of alcohol, and I fucked my night. Fuck this, I'm going home.
I heard, so my friend was telling me that he was in his local pub on Sunday, I think, and it had all been, they'd spent a lot of money apparently as local on there, making sure the hygiene things and all the protocols were followed. But weirdly, like about an hour after he got there, an inspector came in.
Oh, right, yeah.
And checked, and they were chatting to the inspector, and the inspector said that, like, he'd asked two pubs, this is in East London, he'd asked two pubs that day to close again.
Really?
Because they weren't doing it. And so it had, I think, I mean, from what I can make out, it is being checked. So I don't know if that's the same in central London or in whatever town people are listening to this in, but apparently in East London, that was the case.
I mean, if I was going to choose pubs to shut down, I mean, I wouldn't start with East London, to be honest. Get the fuck out of here.
they haven't gone back to the 60s. They're going to find the crazy.
You're not allowed to serve. You're not allowed to. What about the people who sell fish? Is that allowed anymore? Fish and meat? Meat raffles? Oh, my God.
I don't think you can have a meat raffle in a pub at the moment, Pete. No. I mean, raffles are quite a big thing in Portsmouth, or always used to be.
Well, I mean, you know. Pirates, isn't it?
Yeah, pirates, because they're pirates. Booty. Yeah, some of the meat would be just booty from people that dug out of the ground after following a map with a cross on it.
Correct. All that stuff is very, very true. Let's chip off. We'll be back.
Let's get out of it.
More Luke and Pete Show fun. If you want to get in touch with the show, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the way to do that. I've been Pete Donaldson. Luke, who have you been?
I've been Luke Moore, and I still will be on Thursday. I look forward to seeing you then.
All right, then. Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.